He was warring against God. And he came down into this world with that war in his heart to oppose and attack the kingdom of God. And he launched his attack against Adam and Eve in their state of purity and plunged this world into a greater worldwide war between light and darkness.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're continuing our series in John's Gospel, Chapter 1, dealing today again with the sons of God. Would you dare call yourself a son of God? Well, a Christian can. Not in the sense that we have been transmuted into some divine person, or that we can be added to the Trinity. No, not at all. But that we are still creatures, that we are still in the body, and this body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit when we are born again, and we may call God our Father, and he takes us or adopts us as his children. So let's not go the Mormon route that one day we will become gods. Let's not go the route of the cults, but let's keep this what the Bible teaches, that we are born again from above. We have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in these bodies of clay that are the temples of the Lord, and that we enjoy grace, the Holy Spirit's power and influence in our lives as children of God. I assure you, it's a great thing to be born again. It's a great thing to have the Holy Spirit in your heart, guiding, convincing, and empowering to live the Christian life. And so this is what we're dealing with today here in John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. A great text of scripture. Let us turn now to our message to the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale as we let the Bible speak.
Next thing, sons of God are given a comprehension of heavenly things. The kingdom of darkness speaks also of the darkness of the soul and the mind. We don't understand. And those who are not born again, they don't understand. And that's what the Lord Jesus said, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now see, the Greek word is idea. He has no idea of the kingdom of God. Can't comprehend it, can't take it in. The spiritual things of God are spiritually discerned. But the person in darkness under the control of Satan cannot see it, cannot comprehend nor take it in. You become a mystery. You become an enigma. You become a mad person. You become someone that's lost it. You don't appreciate the old way. You've changed, and you've changed too much for the worldly man's liking. And so this is indeed dramatic. Now, in John 3:8, Jesus expounding on what it means to be born again, so is everyone that is born of God, that it is like the wind. We cannot tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth, but it is powerful. It is absolutely powerful, and we are changed in heart. Sons of God are not only made to understand heavenly things, but we are made heirs of heaven and of God's kingdom. Heaven now becomes our true home. That's what we're living for. I hope that's why you've come to church today. You're living for heaven. If you were living for the world, you'd be, I don't know, can you play golf in November in Vancouver? You'd be doing something else. You'd be serving the flesh. You'd be doing something that you might do on a Saturday. But this is the Lord's day. And this is the day that you learn and seek the kingdom of God, because you now have this understanding. But you're an heir of heaven. You're a participant. Now, how do you get the key to heaven? When children come home from school, they have their own key. They're allowed in. Or maybe these days you give them the code to the garage door and the door goes up and they're allowed in. They have access to the home. Now, how do we get access to heaven? Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And Christ is the key. If you have the Lord as your Savior, you have immediate entrance, access to heaven. Just think of the text. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to as many as believe in his name. And so you have access to heaven, and you have a title in heaven. You also become a joint heir with the Lord Jesus. That's why I wanted to read Romans 8, particularly verse 17. Would you look at that with me? Romans 8, verse 17 in particular, and you'll see the privileges of sons in the family, that we are heirs with Christ. And if children, if it's really true that you're born again, if it's really true that you have Christ as your Savior, you've got the key in your hand, the key to heaven, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now that suffering part, you might wonder, why did Paul put that in? Because Jesus doesn't promise to you an easy ride to heaven. He says that we shall, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So there is no hiding the fact that we will be hated by the world. Well, instead of being children of darkness, we will become the target of the devil. Satan will seek to destroy you. He will seek to destroy your testimony. He will raise up forces against you and against the church to destroy that image of Jesus Christ in the world. When Satan fell from heaven, he was warring against God. And he came down into this world with that war in his heart to oppose and attack the kingdom of God. And he launched his attack against Adam and Eve in their state of purity and plunged this world into a greater worldwide war between light and darkness. And the devil is not going to give up. He's going to pursue, and he's going to seek to drag you down. And you've got to realize the battle that you're in. Your soul is saved. You are born again. You have a title in heaven, and that cannot be taken away. You will never be in hell. You'll never again fully be the slave of the devil. But he wants to destroy your testimony and your usefulness. He wants to stop the preaching of the gospel. He wants to oppose the things of truth and righteousness. And he is continually in that battle. And that's why in Romans 8:17 it says here, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, you don't get to heaven by the degree of suffering that you endure. Suffering is not merit for heaven. Suffering is a result of the change of your heart, change of title, change of loyalty, because you no longer want to serve the devil. You reject him. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're willing to take up the cross and bear reproach and shame and the indignities of this world that you might live for Christ. And in doing so, you are walking as a child of God. Now, sons of God are given assurance of sonship. I'm coming back to that little point of when a child is adopted out of an orphanage and brought into a home, that it takes a lot of effort sometimes to make that child understand that they are really a part of the family. Now, this comes close to me because when I was a boy growing up on a farm, my dad and mom took in a foster boy. And of course, a farm would be a great place for a teenage boy to learn just family life and work life and so on. And so they brought this boy in. Well, in about 24 hours, he vanished. He just took off. He didn't like the family. He didn't like the work. He just went. And he never came back. I was too young to understand how the system all worked. I don't know, you know, did they determine that wasn't just a good fit for him, better off somewhere else? But I certainly know the extent that my mom and dad went to try and make things work. But it didn't work. He took off. He didn't feel a part of it at all. And when you think of coming out of an ungodly, sinful, worldly life, and to profess to be a Christian, sign whatever you will, declare, confess it however which way you will, but to have the inner assurance that you are a child of God, that's also so much more and so different. And so how do Christians get this assurance? What is it that God works in us that we are not just hanging on to a piece of paper, a legal title, a name, but that we know in our hearts that we are the children of God? Well, let's go back to Romans again, to chapter 8 and to verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So it's not just the preacher saying, oh yeah, it's all well with you now. It's not just reading it in some theological book, that's how it happens. It's not even just you with your own intellectual mind getting your head around certain processes. It is the direct ministry of the third person of the Trinity into the depths of your soul. That's the power and the miracle of regeneration. And someone else doesn't have to tell you, oh yes, you're now a Christian. You know it. You know it. Because you have been born again. Let me read to you just a few lines from J.C. Ryle, how he explained this new birth. He says, the birth here spoken of is the new birth, or regeneration. That complete change of heart and nature which takes place in a man when he becomes a real Christian. It is a change so great that no other figure but that of birth can fully express it. It is as when a new being with new appetites, wants, and desires is brought into the world. A person born of God is a new creature. All things pass away, and all things become new. And there is that internal witness of the Spirit of God that you are born again. Do you have that? If you do, you should be shouting and singing from the rooftops. You should be singing your joyful confession of Christ freely. If you say, but I don't have that, then you need to come to John 1 verse 12, because Jesus says that as many as receive him, to them gave he the right, the authority to become the sons of God. So you don't need to stand on the outside. You can plead this text and come trusting in the Lord Jesus. Now, that was Romans 8, 17. Let's go back to John 1, verse 12, and move on to verse 13. Move on to verse 13. You'll notice that verse 12 stops with a colon. A colon. And you learned in school that when you have a colon symbol, you use it when there's a list, there's an explanation, there is more information to follow. And when the Holy Spirit moved John to write verse 12, even to them that believe in his name, he said, John, don't stop there. Don't put a period. Don't make that the end of the truth. There's more to it. And the more is, and here's the explanation of what it means to be a son of God, which were born. Which were born. This is the work of God. And it's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And it is that work of God, that new birth, that gives the blessed assurance that you are born of God. And regeneration is the amazing gift of God, and it's all of God. No man can regenerate his own soul, no more than a corpse could bring himself back to life again. This is an absolute miracle and a work of God. And you will learn, and I'm learning, as I study John 1, there is a very direct link between Jesus as Creator and Jesus as Savior. Because He that created all things, you know what happened when He brought the world into existence? It was without form and void. Well, it was no matter, it was ex nihilo, no matter. Then when He brought matter into the world, it was without form and void. Then God, in the days of creation, brought everything together to life. Proper order, proper existence, proper function. Jesus does the same in the new birth. He gives us spiritual life, and He brings us into fellowship with God. I had another quote from J.C. Ryle, but time doesn't allow me. I need to move to the promise. I need to let you see that this whole verse, this whole text is one big promise. If you delete anything here, you take away from the promise. And I would be guilty of missing the core truth of these verses if we did not see that this is God's promise. He that as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And it's a simple promise. It's very simple. It carries its own definition. Because to receive Him and believe on Him, same deal. It's not complicated. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. To receive, believe. To believe is receive. There's nothing convoluted about this. You receive. You lay hold on the Lord Jesus. And you take Him as your very own Savior. It's a sure promise. It's open to all who believe, as many as received Him. There's no list of names. There's no qualifications, no characteristics, as many. And if you receive, you are surely accepted. This is the assurance and the acceptance that is built right in here. And then thirdly, it is a sufficient promise. The only requirement is faith. And it can't be any other way, because it's grace. It's a gift. And if you believe, doesn't say believe and do, doesn't believe and work, doesn't say believe and join a church. It says believe. And the moment you believe, you are received. Now, it's the only requirement, and it works for multitudes. What I was going to do at this point is go down a list of verses that talks about every time that Jesus cast out the devil, He went. You can do that on your own sometime. Every time when Jesus cast out the demon, they went, no doubt. And that soul was delivered and brought to sit at the feet of Jesus. And of course, the demoniac of Gadara is the great example that we can think of. What a great example. One who was tormented day and night. Man could do nothing with him, and there was Jesus in his sitting at his feet in his right mind and clothed. What an example of the power of the Savior. Now, how does this address your need, and how does this apply to you? Well, if you're a Christian today, you ought to thank God with all your heart for the wonder of it all. And you must live for Christ with all your being and all your strength. If you're not, you can become a Christian. It's possible. Don't rule it out. Don't rule it out. Don't dare rule it out. Multitudes have come, believed, and been received. And I warn you against any thought that all men are the children of God. Let that be blasted out of your mind. Deal with it right now. All men are not the children of God. I can remember when I was hearing the gospel and coming to an understanding of these things, sitting at a traffic light in our hometown, and this revelation came to me. All of my friends who are not Christians are lost. Of course, at that point, I was lost. We are not all children of God. We are all creatures, but we're not all sons. We all need to be born again and brought into the family. And this miracle must take place in you. You must become a son of God. It's a definite work of grace in your soul. You can't imitate it. You can't effect it yourself. But you can pray for it. You can pray for it. As many as received him, he gave the gift. He gave the power to become the sons of God. You can pray for it. And if you have an inkling of desire to be a Christian, to be the child of God, here's your promise. It's simple, it's sure, it's all sufficient. It's all you need. But you need to pray that prayer and plead the gospel and plead Christ to save your soul today. Let's unite in prayer a moment. Father, we thank thee for the wonder of these great truths in your word. Lord, I confess my limitations in preaching them. How can I make this clear? How can I make people understand? Lord, I can't. But I pray that the Holy Spirit who moved John to write these things, oh, blessed Spirit of God, write them on hearts today. Make them real and powerful and bring sinners to the cross. We pray for that miracle of the new birth to any who are yet in their sins and in darkness. Oh, Lord, draw them, save today. And to those who call on thee, hear their cry, as thou hast promised to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening with us here on Let the Bible Speak Today. I want to just give you a few excerpts from our Bible study notes in Genesis, and I'll be exhorting that you send for these. But in Genesis chapter 3, we have Adam's disobedience by eating the forbidden fruit, but it brought far-reaching consequences upon mankind who were plunged into a fallen world. Some say, so what? A little apple, one bite, what a petty thing. But the whole matter was about God testing Adam's obedience and testing his loyalty and love to God. This was an act of rebellion to God's clear command. And in judgment, the consequences of that forbidden fruit was to bring a curse upon the world. And you may say, so what? A few thorns, a few briars, so what? No. This is radical. In Genesis 3, verse 7, we are told, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Sin brought a sense of shame. And of course, the naked body today is perennially shameful. And even in this day of immorality, people know to put clothes on, although sometimes they don't clothe themselves well enough. But clothes are necessary in a fallen world because sin brought shame. Also, sin brought estrangement to God, because here we find now that when the voice of the Lord came, and the Lord was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And here this enmity, this spirit of estrangement, turned them into fugitives, running from God. That's what sin has done. And that's what sin has done to everyone in this world. Sin also brought God's curse upon the serpent. putting enmity between the serpent and the woman. In verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And so we find that that serpent that slithers on the ground is indeed the consequence of sin. Sin also brought the woman under further rule of her husband. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Her falling for Satan's deception had consequences, and its sin always does. And people say sin is a trifle. No, it brings serious consequences, as Eve discovered. Also, sin brought God's curse upon the ground with attending struggles for survival. And unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And so here we see this consequence of sin, and it is now the curse upon the ground worldwide, a universal curse upon the earth due to that sin of Adam and Eve. Then also sin brought banishment from the presence of God. God put those cherubims with flaming swords to guard the Garden of Eden and banish Adam and Eve forever. These are just some of the consequences of that forbidden fruit, that rebellion against God. Now, I'd like you to send for these notes. They are Bible study notes in the book of Genesis, and you can go to our website and discover them, download them for yourself. Go to ltbs.ca. You'll get the announcements now coming up. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.